I do not know when my parents' eyes first met across a room. I do not know the whys and wherefores that led to their deepening attraction to one another. I cannot say what led to the decision within their courtship that, yes, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. All I know is that as a result of this mysterious and unique synergy, known only to them, I am here in the world. I do not know what goes on in the mind of artistic genius as it prepares to create a work of outstanding beauty. I do not know how Michelangelo made the connections from many different creative sources as he prepared for the greatest commission of his life. I cannot say how he mapped out in his mind the wonders of the world that now adorns the roof of the Sistine Chapel. All I know is that as a result of this mysterious and unique creative process known only to him, we now have that striking image of God leaning forward to touch Adam's finger with the gift of life. I do not know how photography works. I still don't get it, even after several technical explanations have been offered to me. I cannot say how it is possible to capture an image of the fleeting actions in our world and then reproduce them at will. All I know is that as a result of this mysterious and unique process, we now live in a world of such images. The resurrection was a hidden event. No one saw it happen in that tomb. No technical, scientific explanation can be offered as to how it was done. The empty tomb and the mysterious messengers is all the disciples had to go on at first. The resurrection appearances of Jesus that followed were only to a few people who had known him well. There was one exception: Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor of the church. But you could argue that his passionate oppositional energy made him an intimate of Jesus years before they met on the road to Damascus. Those resurrection appearances were vivid, transformative experiences, in many ways more real than the actual experience of living with them. Their effect in every case was to generate community. They were not about convincing a scattered group of individuals of their personal immortality. The point of the resurrection was to call the church into existence. I do not have any problem believing in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. God can do anything he likes in his world. He made it. He made us. He is free to do as he pleases. Raising a human being from death would not be a problem for him. I do not have any quarrel with the method of the resurrection appearances. It makes sense that he would appear only to those who would recognize him and would understand what these appearances meant. Strangers who had never met him would have regarded these encounters as frightening and meaningless experiences. I do not doubt that the resurrection called the church into existence, that what got it going was him present in power in its collective experience. The vitalistic energy of the early church testifies to the one who animated its life. My point of struggle with the resurrection lies elsewhere. It chimes in with the objections raised by the Jewish community to the significance of Jesus. They ask, if the Messiah has come into the world, then why is the world still in such a mess? If the church is the new people of God, called by God to be a family of love, demonstrating to the world how good life can be when you've got rid of illusion and fantasy, then why has the church failed so often and so disgracefully to do it? If the resurrection of Jesus is God's new beginning for the world, then why has the Christian message had so little impact on the human story? My point is that we are the question posed by the resurrection. It is about us becoming analogues of Jesus. It makes it possible for us to have the same freedom, the same direct intimacy with God, the same commission of healing and restoration that he had. We are to be the tangible presence of Christ in the world. Out of the empty tomb came a matrix for the creation of free persons, adult children of God, who would have the maturity to take responsibility for the world. The resurrection has started a new story within the human story. It is about the emergence of a family of love, made up of God's free sons and daughters, whose differences of gifts, temperaments, and life possibilities are centered on Jesus Christ. This new story of this family of love is to grow through the old story of unhappy humanity. That we often fail to be this, that Jesus himself is a failed Messiah, makes us draw strongly on the central message of our faith, that forgiveness and restoration and new beginnings are always possible. Resurrection is about that too. But let's be clear about this. If the Easter story is only for us about whether we're candidates for personal immortality, then we've only grasped a very small part of the hope that's being held out to us. The raising of Jesus from the dead set in motion a process that will end with the arrival of the kingdom of God in its fullness. It is about all of creation coming back to God. Remember, the Bible talks about trees that clap their hands and hills that rejoice. This process is taking longer than was first expected. When the kingdom comes, it will be as a result of the gift of God. But our efforts, the shape and pattern of our lives, will have an important contribution to that outcome. God has taken a chance on us. He has, to some extent, put his enterprise at risk by depending on us to be his resurrection people. What we do or don't do when we leave the church today will be an important part of that emerging story. We are the question raised by the resurrection.